or a chumash that was used a lot, and the cover came off, and the pages are falling apart, there's a way to sew it back together and put a new cover, and you could use it for a few more years if you fix it nicely. This is Reb Muttal. This was Muttal's job, to fix Sfarim, a bookbinder. Now, Reb Elimelech Lizensk said, I wondered what in the world Muttal, the bookbinder, was doing in the palace with the biggest tzaddikim. And then I heard another thing that was very interesting. Avram Avinu comes over to Muttal and he says, Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Mordechai. Now, Muttal is a nickname for Mordechai. And people in Lizensk used to call Muttal, Muttal. Not Reb Muttal, but Muttal. Because he was a simple man. A person that's more of a Talmud Chachem, you call him Reb. But a simple man, you just call him his name. Avram comes over to Muttal. Shalom Aleichem, Reb Mordechai. Yitzchak comes over to Muttal. Shalom Aleichem, Reb Mordechai. Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. When they go near the neshama of Muttal, the bookbinder, they say, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Mordechai. Ooh, look. They're not calling him Muttal, the bookbinder. They're calling him Reb Mordechai, a very honored way to speak. What's going on over here? What in the world? How is it? Now, of course, every Yid is a tzaddik. Every Yid has a neshama. But in Gan Eden, there are different palaces and different places about how big a tzaddik a person was and how many mitzvahs he had. And Reb Elimelech said, I was very curious to find out how Muttal the bookbinder got into the room in the palace of the biggest tzaddikim and why they're calling him Reb Mordechai. So I went over to Muttal and I asked him. Now this is what happened when Reb Elimelech of Lizenska's neshama went into this palace. He went over and he spoke to Muttal, to Reb Mordechai. And this is what Reb Mordechai, Reb Muttal, the bookbinder, told him. If you want to hear it today, you have to be quiet. Otherwise, we'll have to hear it tomorrow. Now remember, in the Himmel, there's no hot dogs, no, and no pickles. But they'll allow you in a story to go up in the Himmel with hot dogs and pickles. But there's no noise. Noise is not allowed in the Himmel. Stop the noise. We will make an exception for hot dogs, pickles, rice, oranges, and ketchup to be allowed special into the Himmel, but noise, absolutely not. There's no noise in the Himmel. But Rabbi Bernstein, it says the Malachim go b'koil rash gadol, a big noise. Well, it's not that kind of noise. It's a different kind of noise. And now, Reb Elimelech of Lizensk wants to find out how in the world Muttal the bookbinder ended up in the Himmel, in the highest place, together with Big Tzaddikim, and they're calling him Reb Mordechai. And this is the story of what happened. Reb Mordechai says to Reb Elimelech of Lizensk, the same time that you got sick, I also got sick. But you got a refuah shleima. I did not. I passed away. And they brought my neshama to the Beis Din Shel Maila, to the court, to get a judgment, to get judged for what I did in the world. And they called out, Muttal, the bookbinder, is now in front of the Beis Din Shel Maila. And they brought the big scale. One side of the scale said mitzvahs. The other side of the scale said aveirois. All right. All malachim that saw Mato, the bookbinder, do mitzvahs, come and put his mitzvahs on the scale. But there's a certain order how to do this. They ask the neshama questions. It says in the Gemara, six questions. The first question is, Matel the bookbinder, did you learn Torah? Did you have set times to learn Torah? Let's see about the Torah you learned. Well, Matel started to cry. He didn't learn so much Torah. The Torah Malachim were not putting so much Torah on the scale, because he had to work very hard and many hours to take care of his family. And even before he got married, his parents, his tati, could not work, and he could not get enough money for his family. And Matel had to help also to take care of his brothers and sisters and even his parents. So they only put a little bit of mitzvahs of Torah on the scale. And then they asked other questions, and they brought other mitzvahs, and they tried, the malachim, to put as many mitzvahs as possible. And then they said, whatever mitzvahs Matel did, he did it happily. So they put more on the scale. They put happiness on the scale, simcha on the scale. He did it with loving Hashem. They put more mitzvahs on the scale. And all of a sudden now comes the Yetzirah with his group of malachim. Okay, let's put Matel's Avedas on the scale. And they were carrying big bags. Now, out of the big bags, they took little tiny Avedas. But because these little tiny Avedas happen a lot of times, they became big, big bags of little Avedas. Little Avedas can become big bags of little Avedas. And they started to pile them on the scale on the Avedas side. Oh no! Look! A lot of little things that I did wrong. And a lot of them I didn't even know. I didn't know those were wrong. But they were still put on the scale. I did that by accident. Oh, you should have been more careful. The Yetzirah says, put the bags on the scale. Put everything on the scale. And the Averis side started to go way down. And the mitzvah side went way up. Which means that the Averis side was much more. And the Yetzirah says, you're coming with me to my place. And two very scary looking Yetzirah Malachim came to take Reb Matel the bookbinder to the other place. Not to the good place, to the other place. And Matel was shaking and scared. When all of a sudden there was a sound. Wait! We're not through. The mitzvah Malachim were not through. There came now a malach. And this malach was holding a sefer. In one hand he was holding a sefer, and in the other hand he was holding some torn paper. And the Yetzirah starts to laugh. Huh, what do you think you're going to do? Put that book and those little torn papers on the mitzvah side of the scale? That's not going to help. Look how many bags of Avedas on the Avedas side of the scale. Take him away to the other place. And the other malachim, the Yetzirah malachim, start to schlep Matel. We're going to waste our time. Let's put him in the other place. And the other malach said, stop, I'm not through. Now, the Beis Din Shalmaila says, identify yourself, explain who you are. And this malach says, I am the malach of Sfarim and Shemois. Did you know there's a malach that takes care of Sfarim and Shemois? Well, that's right. Shemis. What are Shemis? Torn pages that fell out of Sfarim. He's in charge of taking care of Sfarim and Shemois. And all of a sudden, he put this sefer on the scale, and a few torn pages. Now, these little papers were little papers of Shemus. And of course, they hardly did anything to the scale. So the Eitz Hara Malalach says, "Oh, you see, you didn't do anything. Let's get out of here." Wait, I'm not through. And the Malach of Sfarim and Shemus points now to a long line of wagons. Now, exactly what kind of wagons are in the Himmel? They must be Himmel wagons, pulled by Himmel horses, driven by Himmel Malachim. And each wagon was piled high with Sfarim or Shemus. Little torn papers, but they were piled high. And he says, "Put these on the scale." And the Malachim, each one with a wagon, starts to put Sfarim and Shemus on top of the mitzvah side. Now, a lot of Sfarim are very heavy. And a lot of Shemus, even though they're little tiny, but if there's a lot of those, they also get very heavy. And the Eitz Hara says, "Who says? Why should you be able to put these on the mitzvah side?" And now the Malach of Sfarim and Shemus is explaining in front of the Beis Din Shel Milo. Reb Mordechai, the bookbinder, did many special mitzvahs with Sfarim and Shemus because he was a bookbinder. Do you know why he became a bookbinder? When he was a little boy, his tati gave him a siddur. And he loved his siddur. He treated his siddur with such love and respect. And when the siddur got crumpled a little bit, if a page got a little bit bent, he straightened it out and he took care of it. And he davened from the siddur. And then the siddur got used a lot. And it started to fall apart. But he loved it so much, he wanted to fix it. So he took it to a bookbinder. This is when he was a little boy. And he watched how the bookbinder put a new cover on it and sewed the pages together. And he gave it a new life. Like he made the book, he made the sefer like a new life, like a new sefer. And Reb Muttal said, "Look, he gave me my sitter back in such beautiful condition. You could fix a sefer. That's beautiful. When I grow up, I want to do that because I love Sfarim." And when Reb Muttal became old enough to get a job, his tati said, "What do you want to do? Do you want to drive a wagon? No. Do you want to put on horseshoes on horses? No. Want to be a farmer? No. I want to fix Sfarim. I love Sfarim, Tati. Even though I don't have that much time to learn, because I'm working. But I want to do that, if that's my job." Now, Muttal would fix Sfarim that people brought to his little shop. But when he went to shul, there were Sidurim and Chumashim that were falling apart that nobody brought to him. And he said, "If nobody fixes these Chumashim and Sidurim, they're just going to fall apart. What's going to happen to all the pages?" And he brought them in the night to his little shop, and he fixed them for free, even nobody asked. And in the morning, he took them back and put them back in the shul so other people could use them. And if there were Chumashim or Sidurim that fell apart, and the Shemus, the pages were all over the place, he made sure that he took them to the place that you take Shemus to bury them. They shouldn't fall on the floor. And if you ever saw Shemus on the floor, he right away ran to pick it up. How many boys, if they see little pieces of Sidurim or Chumashim or pages on the floor, they make sure to pick them up and right away put them in a place they're safe. Or even tzitzis that tore off. Kenelach Muttal was careful with Shemus, and he loved Sfarim. And now they put the Sfarim that he fixed on the scale, and all the Shemus he took care of on the scale. and it tipped down the scale to be so heavy, the mitzvah side got much heavier than the other side. And the good malachim started to dance and sing, and they took Reb Matl, and he didn't have to go with the other malachim. He went with the mitzvah malachim to the good place. And of course, there might be a few things in between that it says in Chassidus, but we're not going to go into that. But Kinalak, all of those Sfarim and all of those Shemois became on the scale to be good for Reb Matl. Now, the end of the story is, Reb Elimelech Lizenske said, one thing we can learn out from this story, every tiny thing that we do for Hashem, Hashem remembers it, and it counts for the good. Even a little tiny piece of shemes that you pick up and you put away in the right place because you have respect for Hashem and His Sfarim, Hashem remembers this. As we see, every piece of shemes came back to the scale and helped Reb Matl and his din. No good thing is forgotten. Every little thing counts. And like the Rebbe always said from the Rambam, you look like the whole world is on a scale. And the next little thing you do is going to be on the good side, and it tips it down for the good side, and who knows, this is the last little good thing that could be before the Geula, and before Mashiach takes us to Eretz Yisrael. Even putting a little tiny piece of shemus on the scale. So every little good thing counts. This is about a little boy named Yisraelik. When he's just a little boy, he goes to the cheder to learn. Now, there was a problem. Sometimes there's a problem when a boy goes to the cheder, he doesn't behave himself. Yisrael behaved beautifully. Sometimes there's a problem that a boy can't learn good. Yisrael could learn excellent. Sometimes there's a problem with different things. There's a different problem over here that Yisrael learned so good, he became smarter even than his Rebbe. He was so smart, he learned so well that his Rebbe couldn't even teach him anymore because Yisrael knew more than his Rebbe. Well, what's he going to do with this kid who knows everything? They put him up a different class, higher. Little Yisrael goes from the kindergarten to the pre-1A, to the Kita Aleph, to the Kita Beis, to the Kita Gimel. He starts learning Mishnayos. Well, he learned day and night. The Tati, Reb Shabsi was the name of the Tati, he did not know how to stop this little boy from learning. Early in the morning, he wakes up, he's learning. Late at night, in his room, he's learning. And he goes from Kita Gimel to Dalet, Dalet to Hay, Hay to Vav, Vav to Zion. The kid is already in Kita Ches. He's only 6 years old. Kita Ches, the highest class in the Cheder. Until even the Rebbe who was teaching Gemara, Yisrael turns 7 now, he says, I don't know what to teach the kid. He knows all the Gemaras, and he knows all the different things that go along with the Gemaras. What should we do with him? He's so smart. They sent him to the Rav. Every day, Yisraelik learned with the Rav of the town privately, because no Rebbe could teach him, because he knew more than all the Rebbes. Now that was a problem, but the Tati, Reb Shabsi, was worried about the boy's health. He is learning so much, and such early hours to such late hours, I'm afraid he'll get sick. He hardly sleeps at night, he hardly eats. And Yisrael just loved to learn. You couldn't stop him. Finally, Reb Shabsi got the idea, because now at this point, Yisraelik sat in the shul at night and learned. He learned until very late. Shh. And the Tati said, once and for all, I'm going to do something to make Yisraelik slow down a little bit. So so that his health will not give out. He went to the shamash of the shul, and he called Yisraelik, and he made a little meeting. He says, Yisrael, you have to take care of yourself. You have to get more sleep. I'm worried about you. So this is what we'll do. After supper, you'll be allowed to come to the shul, but just learn for 1 hour. And then you'll come home and go to sleep. And the shamash, please try to remind Yisrael to only learn for 1 hour. Shh. And in fact, Reb Shabsi had a better idea, and he said like this. In those days, and even in these days, they have different candles. There are little candles that burn shorter time. There's big candles that burn for a longer time. Reb Shabsi says to the shamash, do you have hour-long candles? Oh yes, we have hour-long candles. They're made to burn for exactly 1 hour. Shh. Okay, this is what we'll do. When Yisraelik comes to the shul after supper to learn, the shamash will give him one candle. And that candle is an hour-long candle. It means that it burns for an hour. So if Yisraelik comes to the shul at 8 o'clock and he lights the candle, what time will the candle burn until?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock, it'll go out. Then there won't be any more light in the shul. So Yisraelik has to come home and go to sleep to get enough sleep, because he wakes up anyway so early in the morning and he starts to learn again. So at least he'll get to bed on time. And the shamash said, okay, Yisraelik, that's what we're going to do. And he showed the key to where the candles are, and he says, after I give you one candle, I'm going to lock up the candles in the special place, and I'm going to take the key with me, and if I go home, you'll just close up the shul, and when the light goes out, you have to go home. Okay, Yisraelik? Yisraelik says, okay, I agree to that. When the candle goes out, it's time for me to go home. And Reb Shabsi was very happy. Yisraelik agreed. And now, Reb Shabsi was very happy that his son will start coming home earlier. Well, that night, this is what happened. After supper, Yisraelik left for the shul. He got there about 8 o'clock. The shamash gave him one candle. It's going to burn for 1 hour. It's an hour-long candle. Now remember what you told your tati. As soon as the light goes out, you have to go home. Yisraelik says, okay, that's what I told my father, so that's what I have to do. And he lit his candle and he sat down to learn Torah. The shamash took the key, he locked up all the candles, and the shamash learned for a while, then he went home, and he says to Yisrael, when the candle goes out, just, you know, close up the shul, and go home, and go to sleep. And Yisrael is sitting there learning Torah. Reb Shabsi in his house, and his wife, are doing all the things they do at night. It gets to be about 9 o'clock. Okay, Yisrael will come home soon. But Yisraelik didn't come home. 9:30, 10 o'clock. Where's Yisraelik already? Oh, he's supposed to be home already an hour ago. I'm getting worried now. Because, first of all, hopefully nothing happened to him, but he said when the light goes out, he'll come home. He's not home yet. 10:30, almost 11 o'clock. This is inexcusable, Reb Shabsi says to himself. Yisraelik is not keeping his word. What could have happened? Probably, he came up with some kind of a question. Nobody was in the shul. He went to the Rav. He learns with the Rav. He went to the Rav's house, and he's probably discussing his question with the Rav. Reb Shabsi runs to the Rav's house, knocks on the door. The Rav comes to the door. Is Yisraelik here? No, he didn't come here tonight. Oh, wait a minute. He's late from coming home from shul. Oh, Maybe the shamash gave him extra candles. Let's go to the shamash's house and see what happened over there in the shul. And the Rav goes together with Reb Shabsi, they go to the shamash's house and they knock on the door. Did you give Yisrael one candle or more candles? You're supposed to give him one. He's not home yet. I only gave him one candle. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Did you lock up the shul? Did he leave? Did he go home? No, I left him in the shul with his candle, and he said as soon as it goes out, he'll come home. And they all got worried. So the Rav and Reb Shabsi and the shamash go to the shul now. Hey, wait a minute. There's a light burning in the shul. What's going on over here? They go into the shul. Yisraelik is learning by the table. There's a candle burning. He's so involved in his learning, he does not see that his father and the Rav and the shamash came into the shul. And Reb Shabsi says to the shamash, how could it be you say you gave him one candle? It's almost 12 o'clock and the candle is still burning. You must have given a few candles from 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock to 9, that's 1. 9 to 10, 10 to 11, almost 12. Four candles. The shamash says, I didn't give him. He must have taken himself. No, I locked up the candles. How could he have gotten more candles? Somehow he must have gotten into the candles. And now they go, the three, right to Yisrael, and they say, the Tati Shabsi says, Yisrael, how come you're still learning? What happened over here? You said you were going to come home when the candle goes out. All of a sudden, Yisrael looks up from his sefer, looks up at his father. As soon as he looks up, the candle goes out. Reb Shabsi says, Yisrael, don't you see that your father, the Rav and the shamash are here? Why you put out the candle? Now there was a little bit of light from the moon shining through the window so they could see each other. Yisrael says, Tati, I didn't put out the candle. Well, the candle went out. I don't understand. Which candle is this? The third candle? The fourth candle? Why aren't you home yet? Tati, I don't know what you're saying. I was learning, and as soon as the candle goes out, I'm going to come home. So now the candle went out, so I'll come home. What do you mean? It's already almost 12 o'clock. You're supposed to be home hours ago. Where'd you get the extra candles? The shamash didn't give you. Tati, I didn't take any extra candles. You said I should light the candle, and as soon as it goes out, I should come home. So now it went out, so I'll come home. What are you upset at me? Kenalach, do you know what happened? Yisrael lit his candle at 8 o'clock. It's an hour-long candle. And he starts to learn. And he gets very, very involved in his learning. And that same candle was the only one that he lit. He didn't get any more candles. But that candle just kept on burning as long as he was learning. As long as Yisraelik was learning, the candle kept on burning. Yes, it was an hour candle, but it was just burning as long as he was learning. And as soon as he stopped learning, the candle stopped. As soon as he stopped learning, the candle stopped.
Burning!
Birdie?
Burning!
Burning. Yeah, there was no birdie in the shul. And they saw that this Yisraelik is a special neshama because he kept his word for his Tati. But that candle just didn't go out. It would not go out as long as he was learning. They saw that this is a special neshama who has special brachas from Hashem and his learning is very halik. Reb Shabsi decided he's not going to ask his son to stop learning if the son wants to go on. He sees his little son Yisrael as a real tzaddikol. And Yisrael kept on learning and he became a big tzaddik, the Koznetzer Magid. And there's stories about Rabbi Yisrael, the Koznetzer Magid, a big tzaddik, very special halakhic stories. This Yisrael grew up to be this great tzaddik, the Koznetzer